From the Matthew passage, as we continue to look at the Advent season and our Sundays leading up, Christmas is a blessing. Matthew 2, beginning in 2, says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Always loved the King James text of this. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And then just one verse from the Luke account, 2 and 10 of Luke. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you news that will cause great joy.'" Say great joy.
Great joy.
"Great joy to all the people." Amen. I'd like to consider this morning the promise of joy. We've talked about the promise of hope. We've talked about last week. Ron, help me here. Pastor's wife. We're talking about the promise of peace this morning. We're thinking about the promise of joy. Advent is a time of anticipation and preparation and reflection. It is a season in which we look forward to the celebration of Christ's birth and his promised return. We've been talking about these key themes. And this morning we come to joy. Joy often stands out as a radiant beacon that can lift our spirits in the midst of life's challenges. But what is this joy the angel announced to the shepherds on that first Christmas night? How does it affect and shape our lives today? What is the nature of true joy? Its source in the coming of Christ, and how can we live in that joy despite a life of struggles? In the Bible, joy is a lasting emotion that comes from trusting that God will fulfill his promises. Somebody said God is going to do what he says he's going to do. It is a deep inner contentment that's not dependent on external circumstances or your accomplishments. Biblical joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it should be a natural, a normal part of the Christian life and the Christian faith. Here are a few characteristics of biblical joy. Biblical joy. First of all, joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice to trust in God. And it's not conditional on material things. or on earthly accomplishments. Seemingly every day we can face that day with confidence and joy, or that joy can be dimmed by the concerns of this life. Joy, you see, is a choice. Secondly, joy is a state of mind. Joy is a settled emotional state of contentment and confidence and hope. Once the choice has been made to be joyful, it can set the tone for days, even for seasons of our lives. It can set the attitude of our mind and our mental and emotional outlook. Joy. Joy is a way of being, a way of existing. Joy is a lifestyle, and it's a lens through which you walk through the world. That joy has an impact on the way we live, our relationships, our communications. Every aspect of the Christian life should be infused with joy. Every aspect of life. Joy is an enduring attitude. It is an enduring attitude. Jesus' gift of joy is enduring. It's an attitude of the heart and spirit. Joy, this joy, is not a momentary flash of giddy happiness. This joy is lasting and enduring. The joy that Christ gives is a deep inner contentment. Joy is a deep inner contentment that remains even in the face of life's challenges. The Bible describes a few occasions, a few stories that are saturated with joy. You remember the birth of John the Baptist in the old age of his parents. You remember the angel's greeting to Mary. You'll remember the shepherds, as the kiddos talked about on the video, the joy of the shepherds in hearing about the new baby boy. The joy of the wise men in seeing the star and finding the baby Jesus, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Let me ask you this morning, when was the last time you felt exceeding great joy, exceeding great joy? There were multiple New Testament occasions that you see joy as part of the picture, but one of them was the disciples returning to their home after Jesus rose and ascended. It was an occasion of great joy. In all these occasions surrounding the coming of the Messiah, the Christ child, the characters in these stories experienced joy. They proclaim frequently that the joy that they feel will be a joy that spreads to mankind. It's described as a great joy that shall be for all people. They proclaim this as a spread of joy, as a spread of a message, as a spread of good news to mankind because of the coming of the promised one, the Christ child. In our text this morning, and in our kind of funny video, we saw magi, kings, commonly called wise men in the Christmas story. And they had come to find this child that they had heard about. Says that when they found the child, when they discovered what they had been looking for, it brought them great joy. In the Luke verse that we read, we saw that the message to the shepherds was that great joy shall come to all people. The angel's message to the shepherds, lowly, plain folks, was that joy is coming. Joy is coming. In the fulfillment of the promise that God had made. I want us to consider this morning the idea of understanding biblical joy in the context of the Advent season and the coming of Christ and the child. Joy is a deep, abiding sense of gladness, and it transcends circumstances. Unlike happiness, which is often dependent on external events, joy is rooted in something unchanging and eternal. Amen. There's a difference between joy and happiness. The angel's announcement to the shepherds was not, you're about to become happy. Happy, happy, happy. But the angel's announcement to the shepherds was good news of great joy. It was not about temporary relief or fleeting pleasure. It was not about a political solution to what was going on in that part of the world. We've talked about that in recent sermons. Israel was under occupation. It was not a pleasant place to be. That's not the kind of great joy that Jesus came to bring to solve those things. This was a proclamation of eternal significance. The birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who would reconcile humanity to God. We said last week in our message regarding peace that Christ came to establish peace in two directions. Christ came so that peace might be established between sinful man and a holy God. Christ also came so that men might be reconciled to one another. How does that work? That works when sin has been dealt with because man has been reconciled with God. Sin has been paid for. It's been taken care of. And when sin is taken care of, relationships between people take a totally different turn.
Amen.
The joy of Advent is not tied to our surroundings or our emotions. It is tied to God's unchanging promise. It is tied to God's faithfulness. It is tied, listen, to the mission of the Christ. Joy has its source in Jesus. Joy has its anchor in the good news, the gospel. The arrival of Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to send a redeemer, to send a rescue. Over the last several months, we've seen that message in various forms. Haven't we? Remember the burning bush. Mm-hmm. Moses is out tending the sheep, doing what sheep guys do. And suddenly comes across a bush that is on fire, but not turning to ashes, not consumed. And the message is, I'm sending a rescue plan, and you're a part of it. We've seen these messages of rescue. The good news, of salvation, which brings eternal hope and restores our relationship with God, redemption has come. The angel says that this joy was for all the people, say all the people. Well, we know that some blessings, some favors, some success only seems to fall on certain people. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
this message, this redemption, this plan in the mind of God and in the heart of God is to all the people. That means you, and you. Like I say in Tennessee, all y'all. All the people. True joy is found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That joy is to all the people. It is distributed to all who will receive it. All y'all. True joy is found in the person and work of Jesus. The birth of Jesus represents God's deep love and care for humanity. I said, the birth of Jesus represents God's deep love and care for humanity, and this love is the foundation of our joy. A couple more aspects of that joy. One is, there's joy in God's presence.
Yes,
joy in God's presence.
Yes.
When Jesus was born, God came to dwell with humanity in a new and personal way. He came to dwell among us. He was called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. It speaks of this incredible truth. Look at Psalm 16:11. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Say that with me. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. The joy of Advent is rooted in the realization that through Jesus, we have access, we have fellowship, we can be in God's presence.
Amen.
And that presence brings joy.
Amen.
Also, we see joy in salvation. We see joy in salvation. The joy announced by the angel is intrinsically tied to salvation. Jesus came to rescue us from sin and death, offering us new life in Him. Isaiah predicted it. Isaiah prophesied it. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation.
Yeah.
Isaiah saw joy in the salvation that was going to come from God, and that came into his life from God. You see, when we grasp the depth of what Christ has done for us, joy becomes the natural response. When we connect with that idea, when we connect with that truth, when we find Jesus in our lives, especially for the first time, joy becomes the response. Have you ever seen a joyful baby Christian, a new Christian, just came to faith in Jesus and by them joyful? Some of us have been Christians for a while. Not so. When we walk through the holiday season, through the Christmas season, and all of the blessings that come, and I've heard you talking about those things, the gatherings of family, the giving of gifts, the singing of Christmas carols, the lighting of candles, all those things. When we walk through that season and we think about the nativity scene and we read the Christmas story from Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, the cruel cross seems a long way off. But don't be confused, friend. The mission, the future, the destiny of the baby of Bethlehem was the cross of God. Yeah. In an empty tomb. That was the mission. That was the destiny. See, far off when we watched it, and the other kids. But please don't be deceived. Please don't confuse the baby of Bethlehem with Jesus again. So there is joy in God's presence. There is joy in salvation. There is joy in future hope. There is joy in future hope.
Amen.
Advent is not only a celebration of Christ's first coming, but is also a reminder of his second. This dual focus fills us with hope and anticipation. Romans 15, 13, look at this verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Our joy is sustained by the promise that one day Christ will return to make all things new. Note here that joy and peace are used in the same statement. I love that about that verse in Romans. Joy and peace are in the same statement. You see, they are closely related. Joy is a result of peace. Joy is a result of peace. When the peace of Christ enters our life, our inner man, the emotion of joy overtakes us. We can live lives of joy because of the peace and the hope that Christ gives. I said, we can live lives of joy because of the peace and because of the hope that Christ gives. You can look forward to what God has promised. Amen. Yes, friend, in life's darkest days, when the future seems uncertain and even bleak, we have hope because of the promises of God through Jesus Christ. And because we have those promises, we can live lives of joy. There are some challenges to joy. While joy is certainly one of the central themes of Advent and Christmas season, we must acknowledge, we must be truthful, that it is not always easy to experience. We said early in this message that joy is an emotion. Some of us aren't feeling a lot of joy this week. Because life is filled with trials, disappointments, and pain. And even and especially during the Christmas season, many people struggle with grief and loneliness. They struggle with unmet expectations. People struggle with broken relationships. And those things are emphasized in the Advent season. I'd like us to consider how we can hang on to joy despite those things. I'd like to consider how we can take on our smile. Well, first thing, we need to recognize that there's a battle for joy. There's a battle for joy. The Bible acknowledges that we live in a broken world. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. However, he immediately added, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And because Jesus becomes a part of your life, although you recognize the struggle, and he recognizes the struggle. Have you seen all the posts these days that say the struggle is real? The struggle is real. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Joy does not mean ignoring pain. Joy does not mean ignoring pain. It means finding strength in God's promises, even in the midst of it, despite it. Secondly, we can choose joy even in difficult circumstances. I said early in this message that joy is a choice. Paul's letter to Philippians is a remarkable testimony to this truth. Remember when we studied Philippians on Thursday nights, we were just kind of joy-filled. Paul exhorts believers to rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4. I actually added to this verse 5 and 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. Remember this verse? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's the antidote. That's the antidote that brings us joy.
Amen.
And the peace of God. Remember I said peace and joy are so closely related. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think you can live with joy with these principles in mind. I think if you live a life of prayer, if you live a life of thanksgiving, if you live a life of worship and praise, if you live a life of peace, you're going to find yourself experiencing joy.
Yeah.
I want you to think about Paul in that passage when he wrote it. Paul was in a deep, dark prison in Rome. Writing to the folks in Philippi, he was saying, rejoice in the Lord always. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, look at me. Here I am, and it's dark, and it's dank, and it's dirty, and it's smelly, and there's rats, and I don't know. Couldn't have been a pleasant environment. And Paul says, rejoice.
Yeah.
And I say it again, rejoice.
Yes.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I've really grabbed a hold of this verse for a time. A little rather true. Sometimes you need things that you don't understand. Sometimes you need peace and joy that goes beyond what you understand. Because in the current scenario, in the current situation, in the current stage of life, your understanding may be pretty difficult. God wants to put in place in your life such a peace and a contentment that it goes beyond what you can try to understand. I'm joyful. Why? I don't understand, but I smile.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's a mess. My family's a mess around me. My work situation is terrible. My bank account is empty. My tire is flat on the SUV. And the saxophone plays out of tune. It's a mess. It's a mess. But God says that peace can come which you don't understand. It goes beyond what you are able to humanly understand and comprehend, Dennis. That's right.
Yeah.
Choosing joy often involves a deliberate focus on God and His faithfulness and His goodness. How can you choose joy? By taking your sights off the earthly and putting them to the heavenly.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, thirdly, joy is through the Holy Spirit. Joy is through the Holy Spirit. True joy is a fruit of the Spirit. When you read Galatians, you read a passage that is a list of the fruits of the Spirit. Well, I'm going to say to you that peace is in there. And joy is also in there. I said they were closely related. Peace and joy are also fruits. What is fruit? Fruit is what develops because of a tree. And it grows. on a tree, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life is fruit because something is growing inside. It's not something you can manufacture on your own. I said it's beyond understanding. As we yield to the Spirit's work in our lives, He fills us with joy that cannot be shaken by our circumstances. So let me say something here. I might hide behind the pulpit after I say it. Ain't no room for grumpy Christians. I'm sorry. I apologize. Ain't no room for grumpy Christians. Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice again. The message to the shepherds was, this is happening to bring you joy. Not grumpy.
Yeah.
So what can we do? What can you do? What can we do during the holiday season? But not to be able to grow. And not be able to grinch is as grumpy, isn't it? What can I do? What can you do? How can you walk through this season of the year with joy? Well, first of all, I think it's good to reflect on God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
Reflect on God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
Take the time to consider the story of Christmas and the broader narrative of redemption, the broader narrative of God's rescue plan. Remember, we as Christians live for the day and we look forward. It's good to remember back and see the ways that God has worked in your life. Let gratitude fill your heart. Thanks. It's a part of joy, isn't it?
Yes.
Psalm 126 says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are full of joy. Woo-hoo! That's a good verse for you, Psalm. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Share the joy with others. Secondly, share the joy with others. You want to get joyful? Share the joy with someone.
Amen.
You want to get happy? Happy. Share happiness with someone. You want someone else to smile? Share with them how good God has been to you.
Yes.
The angel's announcement of great joy was not to be meant to keep to yourself. The shepherds immediately went to see the baby and then spread the news to others. They went to see it, and once they had saw it, they did what? They spread the news. I think of the woman at the well that we saw in the Chosen, and that illustration of her hitting the town. I had a good time, buddy. He told me everything he did, remember? Remember the joy in her life? So that can be kept to ourselves. As followers of Christ, we are called to share the joy with those around us, especially those who are hurting or in need. Let me say something to you. As much as I love that we do special things for the underprivileged at this time of year, and we do dinners and we fill up the food banks, those needs are all your own.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. They're not for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Past Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Worship and rejoice go together. As followers of Christ, we're called to share the gospel, but we're also called to express our thanks and our worship and our thanksgiving to God. Worship and rejoicing. Advent, friends, is most certainly a time for worship. Whether through singing or praying or reading scripture, let your heart be lifted. Through worship this time of the year. I love the great songs, and I love the coming together. I'm looking forward to next Sunday night when we gather and worship. Let me tell you what worship does. Worship shifts your focus from yourself to the greatness of God.
Yeah.
Worship transforms your thinking from selfish to selfless.
Yeah.
Worship. And in doing so, I think we find joy. You find joy in worship, I hope you do. I hope when we come together.
Yes.
And we sing and we pray and we give, I hope you find some joy. A number of folks through the years who say the highlight of their week is worship. Well, I hope that worship is a highlight of your week, but I hope it's also a launching pad for a joyful week. I hope it's a launching pad for you to speak and act and live with joy when we get out of here Sunday afternoon. We go to Monday. Joy of Advent is not just a feeling, it's a transformative power. I want to challenge us to all of us today. Live the Christmas season with joy.
Amen.
Make it the hallmark movie of your life. By the way, they did say 58. Right before that. I've seen it before. They're all the same story. If you watch one, they're all the same. Amen? What if we could walk through this season with true joy? What if we can set aside the stressors, the things that make us nervous, the things that overwhelm us? I overscheduled this weekend. And we probably, Rhonda, have overscheduled next weekend. And the next couple of days. The good news is I'm going to be able to rest because I'm recovering in Gordon Rogers on Christmas Eve. That's my last day. So rest has come.
Yeah.
But we get, you know this, we get so stressed about all the things to put together. Well, yesterday afternoon, I played a little gig at a coffee shop. And last evening, Ron and I went to Columbus, Ohio to see a concert. And this morning, I'm preaching to y'all. And this evening, I'm being teased out of West Virginia. Or Pastor Melissa's church in West Virginia. We overstepped this weekend. And I got a little stressed. I got a little stressed. I couldn't find this cord or this cable. I didn't know what the plan would be when the trio was unable to sing this morning. Not laying on you that you added any stress to my life. Do you get stressed?
Oh, yeah.
Are you counting the chairs and the table service to make sure you're all set for that big meal? Even more than Thanksgiving? Yeah, we get stressed, but I think that goes against what the purpose was of what the angels were saying. The purpose of Christ coming wouldn't to stress you out. Christmas didn't happen to stress you out. Christmas happened to bring you peace. Christmas happened to bring you hope. Christmas happened to bring you joy. Can you, will you walk through this season with joy? The very first thing I said in this message is that you got to choose it. You got to choose it. May we embrace this joy and live in its light and then share it with those around us. As we wait for the return of the Savior, let our lives echo the words of the angel. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. Pray with me. Father, we know at this season of the year, that emotions are amplified. We know that struggles and difficulty look even bigger and more daunting at this time of the year. I pray, Father, that you would put smiles on our faces, that you would help us, Lord, to share joy, to exhibit joy, but most of all, Father, will you help us, Lord, to choose to experience joy, the joy that comes from your faithfulness, the joy that reminds us that you will do what you say you are going to do. That when we look at a nativity scene, or we see a Christmas tree, or we even consider the stripes on a candy, that we're reminded of your plan, of your blessing, of your love to all people. Lord, there are those of us in this room that have and are going through struggle. And I pray, God, that there would be peace beyond understanding in such a way that we can walk in joy, especially through this season. And then that joy might establish itself in the deep parts of our lives so that once the presents are pushed are put away and the TV is taken down and the lights are taken off the house, once all that is done, that there is a deep and abiding joy and peace and hope in each of our lives. And that, Lord, that takes us into a new year. Thank you, Lord, for your Son and for the fellowship that we enjoy in him. In Jesus' name.